John knew Jesus as a man before he knew Jesus as God. John engaged with Jesus on a human level before he knew Jesus as God. I'm sure that the transfiguration on the Mount was not anticipated by John, James, or Peter. John knew Jesus probably as a friend, as a new companion, as a man before he knew Jesus as God. And so all those things are sort of his personality, his experience with Jesus, where he came from as far as his upbringing. All those things, obviously, go into John writing this book. I mean, Jesus uses all of us and our personality and how we were wired and our history and all those things when he uses us. God did the same thing with the writers of the Bible, right? He used them by his Spirit, but he didn't dismiss their personality or experiences or any other way that he formed and shaped them. So John is writing this book. So why don't we turn to John chapter 1. And I'll read out of the NIV. Oops, maybe not. If I can get there. Okay. So John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John, who knew Jesus on a human level, came into an understanding of Jesus Christ as the Eternal One. The one who existed eternity past, and eternity future. And so he starts off and says, in the beginning. Basically what he's saying is, yeah, in the beginning, Jesus was the great I am. In the beginning, Jesus was. Not in the beginning, Jesus shows up, or Jesus was created. In the beginning, he was the great I am. He was there. And then he gives him the description of the Word. So, eternity, God, Jesus, the Son of God, was, and then he describes him as the Word. Why the Word? Now, in the Greek, the term described there for Word is logos. If John wanted to say something about like an ordinary word that had not a deeper meaning, he would have used the term called lexis. But he uses logos. Why? That is an odd term to use for the Son of God, is it not? Has anybody ever thought that reading through? Why the Word? Well, there's different meanings that could be there as far as logos in the Greek. So it could be translated as the grounds, or a plea, an opinion, an expectation, speech, an account, to reason. So there's a deeper meaning that John is trying to convey to us by God's Spirit. That here Jesus is the Word of God. Now, think how you and I use words. Many times, if we want something expressed out of our hearts, out of our minds, we use words, right? And the most purest, simplest definition, your words describe what's going on in your head and your heart. You're conveying something. Now, sometimes we use our words deceitfully, right? And we're trying to convey maybe something that we're not. But in the purest term, the words that you use are describing what's going on in your heart. It describes what's going on in your mind. You give understanding for people about your history or your plans. All those things that go into you describing something with your words. That's why God treats your words seriously. He doesn't look at your words being something flippant. Oh, well, I just didn't mean to say that. God will make, and he has made my words genuine. And in a lot of times, it's painful. So, if you think about your words, they are serious business to God. And his expression, the Godhead's expression of what was going on in their hearts and their minds, was Jesus Christ. We talked about the Trinity earlier in Sunday school. Actually, I didn't know you were doing that today. That was pretty cool. But the Trinity is three persons, one God. And the role of Jesus as the Word of God was to explain, to express, to reason, to plea on behalf of God. That is the Word. And so, really, John's conveying the deity of Christ. Now, later he'll talk about the Word made flesh, meaning his humanity. But right now, John's talking about God's deity, his eternal attribute. You know, we do the personality testing. If you haven't had it done, I'd be glad to walk you through that. But many of you have had that done. And we talk about the first descriptor is whether an introvert or an extrovert, right? So an extrovert speaks to think. So an extrovert is, and not in a bad way, but they're quick to speak. They need to think about things as the words come out and they're out there. Now when the words are out there, now I can walk through the process. That's how they process. That's how they relate to people. So if a person, an extrovert person, is going through something, they need to talk it out with somebody. Because that's how they think through it. An introvert thinks to speak. So many times, an introvert, if you know a lot of them, it's hard to drag out their words. It's hard to drag out their heart or their thoughts. And so an introvert is more understanding that once you speak a word, you can't get it back. Have you ever spoke a word and think, I want to take that back? You can't. It's out there. Well, here, the Godhead spoke what was definitely on their hearts and on their mind to get out to man. So God himself expressed, pleaded, got it out there, his heart and his mind, through the person of Jesus Christ. He was the Word. Now, I would say that he was definitely qualified. Being God, to express the heart of God, would have been important for him to be God, right? Now, we are just switching insurance, and so I had to call and put the physician provider, right? Is that what you call it? I don't know. Okay. So whatever that is. I had to call and put it on our cars. However, with this new insurance, they treat Susan's account and my account separately. So I called and I said, I would like to change our provider. And they said, well, sorry, sir, you cannot change the provider for Susan. That's my wife. Well, you cannot change it. Is she there? Yes, she is. I'll need to get her approval. So I had to give the phone to Susan, and she had to give the approval for me to speak on her behalf. Now, I guarantee you, after 25 years of marriage, I still cannot speak what's on her mind. I cannot figure out what's on her mind. I cannot figure out what she's thinking. And so many times I've said, what were you thinking? And many people have asked her when, in relation to marrying me, what were you thinking? But I cannot speak on her behalf. But yet it was God who came to earth, the Word of God expressed to mankind, and the person of Jesus Christ, God himself. I think that's interesting that John is talking about his deity. Well, later down the road, we'll be talking about his humanity, both critical. obviously, you can't do without either of Jesus' humanity or his deity. His humanity to identify with us and take the penalty of sin. His deity because it was an eternal sacrifice. So John is going through here, obviously, selecting his words very carefully. Verse 2. He was with God in the beginning. Once again, talking about the Trinity, he was with God. You could put the Father, you could put, some scholars will say you can almost switch that. You can put the Father in there. He was with God, the Father, from the beginning. That would give you an indication of the Trinity, right? That this man, this God who came to earth, is God, was God, and is a part of the Trinity. He was with God. And as being God and with God, he was, once again, qualified to express the heart and the mind of God. Verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus Christ was the genesis point of all creation. He was not created. Which, you know, obviously obviously there were wrong understandings of who God was. What's the bad theology? What? Skeptics, yes. Heresy, thank you. Obviously there's a lot, and skeptics. Good job, Deb. You don't win anything. But there was heretical voices out there talking about whether Jesus was actually man or whether he was actually God. But here, he created all things. If there was anything created, he created it. We talked about today in Sunday school, Lance talked about the Elohim. The term for God used in Genesis is a plural term for God used in the singular. And oftentimes you see different places of creation. But here, in Colossians 2, but here as well in John says he created all things. So there was nothing that did not have his hand on it. I was just thinking, you know, when John's writing these things, knowing his experience with Jesus, knowing the time when he didn't know Jesus as God, knowing all the things that he knew that were wrong that he discovered when he met Jesus, how cool is it for him to be penning these things? It's almost like you're worshiping God in this. He was worshiping God as he was penning this book, talking about, yeah, Jesus, he was from the beginning. Yeah, Jesus, he was God. He was with God. Yes, he is a part of the Trinity. Yes, he created all things. I would imagine it was an act of worship as John is penning these things out. Where are we? Verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The spiritual reality that comes from the Word, from the light, those things that you think about, whether they're attributes of God or attributes of love, joy and peace and purity and power and strength, and all those things you can list out, God could have just demonstrated in the world. He did with the Israelites, did he not? They saw some amazing things. They saw God manifest himself in magnificent, powerful ways. But here is the Word. Here he comes into his creation. Think about that. He created all things and then stepped into the creation as a part of creation. He humbled himself. Think about that. So he came in to his creation, and he was the light. He was all those things that God's attributes that he had demonstrated to the Israelites in the Old Testament. Here he is, the light, giving understanding for all people. How far did the Israelites get knowing God when they saw his power? Not very far. But here Jesus comes, incarnated, that he would be able to teach and instruct, that people could see what it means to be righteous, what it means to be pure, what it means to be patient, what it means to be loving, what it means to be accepting, what it means to associate with those who other people won't associate with. All those things that is who God is really become the Word manifested, the Word lived out in front of mankind. This light shone in the darkness where is ignorance and hatred and dissension and destruction and all those things that we had no clue what was going on in the darkness, in steps the light. Not only the attributes of God, but God himself. That we would know him. Not that we would know of him. Not that we would know of his power. Not that we would know of his righteousness. They had the law. They knew the standards. But that they would know God personally. The light, the Word, life came into the world. Or we would have had no clue. We'd have had no understanding. We would have seen, maybe, but we would have never been able to take part. So here God comes, the Word, expressing, pleading, reasoning, giving understanding to the world of who God is. And so it gives us a picture of what he wants the church to be in the world today. Because the church is the expression, ambassadors, as if God is making his plea through us to the world of who God is. Now, we can write it down. We can write some words and some letters down and post it and say, hey, well, that's who God is, and that's who we, you know, want to be, and we'll put it on a mission statement, and everything will be okay. God wants us to be the expressive Word of his character, of his life, of his attributes in the world today. So that people would say, oh, oh. How many people, after Jesus was like, that were in Judaism, that had been taught, maybe Paul, I wonder how many times he went, oh, I get it. I understand. I would have never grasped that. We are the same expression. God resides in us. He indwells us. Somehow. I don't understand it. But somehow God indwells the heart of the believer. So that when we interact with people, in this culture, a lot of people know about God. They know about Christianity. They know things. But we can be that expression where they go, oh, okay, I get it. I understand. That's what he's given the church. The church being the Word of God to the world. That is an amazing responsibility, amazing role. But man, what a gift. that we get to do that. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled by so many things that you have done. But to think that you sent your Son as the expression of the Godhead to give us an understanding of who you are. We rightfully focus, Jesus, that you came, that you came as one of us, you took our place, you took the penalty for our sin, you took the penalty for my sin, that I would have life with you, but yet you've given us an understanding of the Father. You translated in so many ways who you are, what you think of us, what you feel for us. And the continuance of that relationship by the Holy Spirit is a beautiful thing. As he speaks, as he instructs, as oftentimes as he rebukes, as he disciplines. This plan is really good. This whole action that you took is pretty amazing and humbling. May we be the testimony of the Word. May we give reasoning by our actions and how we relate to people. Thank you for this, the plan that you chose to work through us in order to make yourself known to the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.